So if you are in the book of James, I want to give you a little bit of history about James. James, the author of this book, he was referred to by Apostle Paul as a pillar. Now, he was the leader of the Jerusalem church, and he was known as James the Just. Now, just means righteous. And so he was known as James the Just, and he later became nicknamed Camel Knees James. And that was because he prayed constantly on his knees, that his knees became so callous, that's why they gave him that nickname. So Camel Knees James. Now James, he was one of those people who had no small talk about him. In other words, when he began to write this 5-chapter epistle, it was very short but powerful. He was straight and he was to the point. There was no small talk with James. He said it like it was. And so what he did throughout this book is he exhorted and he warned the church. He said, be patient, persevering, and in prayer at all times. Why? Because you're going to face trials and temptations. And it's not a matter of if, but when. Because the trials and the temptations are something that everybody is going to face. And so he was edifying the church, meaning he was building it up. And he was preparing us so that we can be ready to face those challenges. He did not and does not want us to backslide or fall off. He says, you better be ready because they're coming. And so with that attitude, he begins to speak to our hearts in a no-nonsense type of way. Now, James, this man of prayer and this man of faith, somewhere in between the 1st and the 5th chapter, stops to focus on a subject, specifically the subject of wisdom. And wisdom is what we will be focusing on today. James is going to talk to us today about wisdom. And here we are in James 3, chapter 3, verse 13. Through 18. And I'm going to read again New King James Version. So he starts with a question and he says, who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. In other words, he says, prove that you are wise and understanding by the honorable life that you live. With humility. That word meekness means humility. Doing good works with the humility that comes with wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking, which means selfish ambition, in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exists, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word of truth this morning, and we ask, Lord, that it would penetrate every heart. Lord, that it would come alive and that it would speak with clarity and conviction if necessary, Lord God. Teach us and correct us where needed. We want the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so that we can walk in truth, Lord God, according to thy will. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We pray. Amen. Amen. Wisdom. So the Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. And when you look at the book of Proverbs, it is filled with wisdom. As a matter of fact, in chapter 1, verse 1 of Proverbs, it says this: "These are the Proverbs of Solomon, David's son, king of Israel. Their purpose is to teach people wisdom and discipline, to help them understand the insights of the wise." That's the New Living Translation. I love it because it breaks it down in a way that is easy to comprehend. And so that's the challenge before us. In this book of Proverbs, he's saying, if you want wisdom and insight, go to this book that will teach you. And it will teach you how to have wisdom. This is an excellent book. The book of Proverbs 3:13 says, "Blessed are those who find wisdom and who gain understanding." Proverbs 9:10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning," not the end. It's the very beginning of wisdom. "And knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." Now, I love this particular book, and the whole Bible is filled with richness. But specifically, when you want to learn wisdom or teach wisdom to your children. Now, in the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verse 17, actually 19, it says this: that the Lord by wisdom founded the earth, by understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge, the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Now, it says this as well. It says, "My son," and this is all of us that are called by God's name, those that are children of God, as well as those who have children, because the book is so rich, it's not just for us, but it's for our children. And so as a parent, I thank the Lord that he stirred me up early on to speak to my children and train them about God's word and his ways. And so sometimes when I'm teaching my children and taking them through the book of Proverbs, I will read the scripture and I will say, "My son," as a father or mother does to their children, "let them not depart from your eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and grace to your neck. Then you will walk safely in your way and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. Yes, you will lie down and your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror, nor of trouble from the wicked when it comes." And I read this and I ask my children a question. I said, "Why will your sleep be sweet? Why will you not be afraid of terror or afraid of the wicked? Why will you walk safely and not stumble?" And my children look at me and they'll raise their hand and they'll say, "Because we keep wisdom." I said, "Yes, because you keep godly, sound wisdom and discretion." Let me tell you, if you are a parent and you have children, you have a responsibility to train them up in the ways of the Lord, period. It is our responsibility that God has tasked us with. We may not be theologians, and it doesn't matter. God sees our heart, and he says, "You train up your children." It doesn't matter what it looks like, even if they seem rebellious or not interested. You train them up in my ways. You speak my word of life into their hearts. And you trust me to watch over my word, to perform it. Because I said that when you train up your children in the ways of the Lord, when they are older, they will not depart from it. You are sowing seeds of life to them. Don't give up. The book of Proverbs is a great place to teach wisdom to your children. And so here we see in the book of Proverbs that was written primarily by King Solomon. And did you know that he began his kingship by asking God for one thing? And it was not coincidental. It was not accidental. He was very intentional when he asked God for this one thing. And in 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 8 through 12, I'm going to read it. You can mark it or follow me there. But it says this. And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great mercy to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. Now, O Lord God, let your promise to David, my father, be established. For you have made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Now give me wisdom and knowledge, that I may go out and come in before this people. For who can judge this great people of yours?" Now I want to put a pause here, because when King Solomon was asking God for wisdom and knowledge, he was asking with all sincerity and with a right motive. In other words, he wasn't asking for wisdom so that he can be puffed up with knowledge and look better than other people. He wasn't trying to look smart or intelligent in the mind, per se. You know why he was asking God for wisdom? Because he wanted to rightly divide and administer justice to his people, to the people that God had entrusted with him. He wanted to be able to discern good from evil. He wanted to do what God was asking him to do, but he realized that he needed help. So what does he do? He asks for one thing. He says, "God, give me wisdom that I may judge your people." And as a result, God says to Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, and you've not asked for riches or wealth or honor or the life of your enemies, nor have you asked long life, but I've asked wisdom and knowledge for yourself, that you may judge my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you." And on top of that, if I may add, his word continues to say, "I will give you riches and wealth and honor such as none of the kings have had who were before you, nor shall any after you have the like." He gave him above and beyond what he was asking for. He gave him abundantly, more than he can ask, think, or imagine, because he came to God with a right heart. And so God not only granted his request, but he added to it. And see, that's what God does to us. God's word says that it is living and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even to the division of soul and spirit, joint and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. He was judging the intent of King Solomon's heart, and because he found it to be right and sincere, he granted it. You see, sincerity is a key to getting from God a request that you ask. God is good and God is faithful. And in the same account, in 1 Kings 3:12, God says, "Behold, I have done according to your words," speaking to King Solomon, "see, I have given you a wise and understanding heart." And so James chapter 3, verse 13, brings us full circle by asking us a question, because he wants us to answer it from our own hearts. And he says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him prove it." See, James was all about proving it. There was no gray area with James. The proof was not in the pudding, it was in the evidence. It was in the fruit, in other words. It was in the fruit. You see, Jesus himself said that you will know them by their fruit. Either it will be good fruit or it will be bad fruit. Because a good tree will not produce bad fruit. Neither will a bad tree produce good fruit. And so he leaves no gray area. He says, prove the way that you live and the wisdom that you think you have by the evidence. And it's a call for all of us to take a good, thorough examination of where we are at. Are we walking with wisdom and understanding? And so James, he gives us a snapshot. And basically he's saying, listen, there are two types of wisdom I want you to see. He says there is heavenly wisdom, which comes from God, but there is also earthly wisdom, which comes from the world, which is rooted in demonic wisdom. Now, Pastor Brian has been taking us through the topic of the kingdom and what the world represents. In other words, the system of the world and the ways and culture of the world. And so James is telling us, asking us, what wisdom are you operating with? Is it lining up with godly wisdom or worldly wisdom? Which one is it? And so he begins to describe what each one looks like. And so he says, if you are walking in heavenly wisdom, this is what it will look like. There will be good conduct in your life. In other words, you will have an honorable life. There will be meekness of wisdom. That word meekness means humility. There will be a humble wisdom that you operate from. And it will be pure. It will be peaceable, gentle, willing to yield to others. We yield to God, but we also yield to others in a gentle way, in a submissive to one another type of way, not a selfish way, not a my way or the high way, but a gentle and willing to yield type of way. There will be mercy, lots of it. There will be a fullness of mercy coming from you and good fruits to prove it. There will be no partiality and no hypocrisy, meaning it will be sincere. So it gives us a snapshot of heavenly wisdom. And then he goes on to define the other type of wisdom. He says, but if you are operating in earthly wisdom, worldly wisdom, sensual and demonic type of wisdom, this is what it's going to look like. Number one, it will produce bitter envy. That means jealousy. And I like what James says, because just before he says this, he prepares us with a few scriptures before this particular verse. And he says in James 3:11, and he's giving us a comparison of what he means by bitter. He says this. James. So in verse 10, 11 rather, chapter 3, he says this, and he's asking us a question again. He says, does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can we produce fresh and bitter water at the same time? It's either going to be fresh or it's going to be bitter. And so then he says, if you are operating in bitter envy, which is jealousy, it is worldly and earthly. It is not godly. He says there will also be self-seeking, which is selfish ambition, and a cover-up of the truth. In other words, we will boast and lie about who we think we are, but are not. So what he's saying to us is, listen, just come clean. If you are filled with bitter envy and jealousy and all these other things that I'm describing, don't boast about it and act like it's not true. Don't cover it up with a lie. He says, just pull the covers for yourself. Get back to the prayer closet. Get on your knees. Repent and be made right with God once again. See, that's how God works. He doesn't leave us in the muck and the mire and the bitterness and the jealousy and the envy. God always has an answer if you're willing. And so he says, if that is you, why don't you just pull the covers instead of hiding under the covers and expose yourself before I have to. Get right with me. Don't play games. And then there will also be confusion. Mind you, he's talking to the church in a church setting where this is taking place. He says there will be confusion, which is disorder. We know that God is a God of order. But the enemy is a counterfeiter. And what he does is he distorts it and brings disorder and chaos to the body of Christ. And so James is just saying, listen, let me show you the difference. I want you to see it because I want you to make it right. You have an opportunity. We are getting ready to enter into 2019. And yes, it makes a big difference how we end, but it also is just as important on how we begin. We are beginning a new year, and we have a fresh start to make things right with God. Don't shy away from what is happening in your life. If there are some things that need to go, let it go. Let the truth of God set you free. But you've got to play your part. In other words, you've got to do your part and take action. God's not going to do it for you. He's asking you to do it for yourself. Now, we were talking about the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs is a wonderful chapter for us to teach our children. And I try my best to teach my children. And when there is a good opportunity, I like to spend a little bit of time giving them some words of wisdom. And so a few days ago, I was in the backyard, and we were by the lemon tree. And so I looked at the lemon tree, and I was getting lemons from it, and my son was out there with me, helping me, and I noticed that there were some rotten lemons that were shriveled up. They were like a dark yellow and a brown, and I was a little bit kind of taken back, because I thought, how could there be these rotten lemons on there when there's barely green ones starting to come out? Like, usually when they're all yellow and they're all ripe, you already know, okay, well, these are just, too late. I didn't get them. But there's green ones. And I said, how could these barely be coming out? Then you got the ripe ones, and then you got the rotten ones. So I decided I'm going to prune this lemon tree. And so I start getting those rotten lemons from the tree. And if you could show the next slide, I had Nathaniel with me. And I said, look, Nathaniel, we got some good lemons here. These are ripe, these are ready, they're fresh, they're good for you. We can eat these. And then I got the ones that were rotten. And you could see it on the next side, barely. Those were on the floor. I had already taken some down. And I decided to pick one of those up. And I said, look, Nathaniel. I said, these on the other hand, they're rotten. They're no good. You can't eat these. They're bad for you. It's bad fruit. So I was trying to give him a little lesson. And so I don't know why I decided to do this, but I ended up opening that rotten lemon. I was just trying to give him a good visual. Yeah, I was experimenting. So I opened this rotten lemon, and do you know what's in it? Worms. There were worms coming out of this thing. It was so disgusting. I threw it. I said, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. And do you know what my son did? His eyes got big and he saw that. He went running to the rotten fruit and he picked it up and he ran off. Needless to say, my little plan of wisdom did not go as intended. He wanted the rotten fruit. Anyway, I say that to say this, that when God opens an opportunity for ourselves or for others around us, we should take advantage of the opportunity to receive his wisdom and to pour out wisdom. And today I want to challenge you, church, that God has wisdom that he wants to give to you, to all of us. If we're willing to receive it and to ask for it, with a right heart, willing to do with it what he wants us to do with it. And so as we prepare to just reflect for the next few moments, I want us to really not rush through. I want to call the worship team up, but I want us to take a few moments to just think about what God is asking for from us and how he wants us to walk in his ways and in his wisdom, and ask God, Lord, if there is things in my life, if there is rotten fruit, areas that need to be pruned, that need to leave, now is the time to open your heart to God and let him speak to you. Let him begin to prune those areas in your life. And I want to show one last verse in James 1:5. And it says this, from James himself. He says, and if any of you, that means all of us, lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Ask and you shall receive, but do it sincerely with a right heart. I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and our hearts for just a few moments as we reflect and as we take some time to ask God to show us what it is that he's wanting us to see. Let's not rush past this moment. Let's just take some time to bow our hearts in a posture of humility before God.